If you will, open your Bibles with me tonight to the small book of Ruth, chapter 4. Ruth, chapter 4. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took ten men of the elders of the city and said, Sit you down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem for myself. I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Your witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that was at the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed, which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. I said, I believe it's been now 6 weeks ago when we brought the first message this time from the book of Ruth, a very small book, that the most important lesson in this book has to do with the kinsman redeemer. Redemption is something that God's people love to hear about, love to think about, because we know that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, in this last chapter, I want us to consider this question. What do we see that Ruth found in a kinsman redeemer? What do we see that Ruth found in a kinsman redeemer? What did the kinsman redeemer provide for Ruth? I want you to look back into chapter 1, verse 9. When Naomi was on her way to leave Moab and come back to the land of Israel, of course, her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, at first they both decided they would go with her. They would come with her into the land. And Naomi did everything she could to persuade both of them not to return with her. And I want you to notice what she said in verse 9 to both of them. The Lord grant you that you may find rest. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Ruth, and if you look in chapter 3 again, chapter 3 and verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, after Ruth could not be dissuaded from coming with her in the land of Israel, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" What, I ask this question, what do we see that Ruth found through a kinsman redeemer? Ruth found rest. Ruth found rest through her husband, who was her kinsman redeemer. The rest that a woman should find in the house of her husband, and some of you ladies I know will find that somewhat funny, maybe, rest in the house of your husband. But the rest that a woman should find in the house of her husband is not ease. It's not ease from the responsibility of guiding a home and a family. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote that believing women should guide the house, which, of course, would mean she would not have a life of ease. So the rest that a woman like Ruth in that time and in that society was to find in marriage, that is, in the house of her husband, this rest was the complete relief from all care, anxiety, and responsibility concerning her support and protection. Let me say that again. The rest that a woman like Ruth in that time, in that society, was to find in marriage in the house of her husband was the complete relief from all care, anxiety, and responsibility concerning her support and her protection. Ruth found rest and so much more in the house of her husband Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. Now, in looking at this last chapter tonight, let's consider just a few things in the narrative and then apply them spiritually. Naomi had said that Boaz would not rest until he finished this matter. We looked at that last time. That's what Naomi told Ruth, that the man, that is Boaz, he would not rest until he had finished this matter. So the first thing that we see here in chapter 4, this matter, I want you to notice, would be done legally and openly. Notice that in verses 1 and 2. This matter, that he would not rest until it was finished. It would be done legally, and it would be done openly. Then went Boaz up to the gate, and that's where they would hold court, at the gate of a city. Remember when Lot first pitched his tent toward Sodom, but before long he was living in Sodom, and yes, he was even in the gate. And when those men came that night and surrounded the house of Lot, that's one of the things that they asked. Well, this sojourner, he's come to live among us, and now is he a judge? Yes, he had become a judge. That's where judgment was rendered. That's where legal actions took place, in the gate, at the gate of the city. And that's what I see here. Boaz, he was an honorable man. And as Naomi said, he's not going to rest till this matter is settled. And this matter is going to be done legally. And it's going to be done openly. Everyone in the city here, all the judges and everyone else, is going to know that me taking this woman into my house to be my wife is going to be done legally. She's not just going to move in with me, as people say today, just shack up. Oh, no. This is going to be done legally, and it's going to be done openly. When I was in Mexico as a missionary, when men made professions of faith, before I would baptize one of them, this was something that always had to be settled. Their marriage. Were they married? As a testimony, God's people, I'm talking about God's children, we want to give a good testimony, don't we? And this matter of marriage is a very solemn thing. And our Lord told that woman at the well, he said, you've had 5 husbands, and the man that you have now is not your husband. Yes, there's something about marriage being before the civil government. It should be done legally. It should be above board, as we would say. And that's what we see here. That's what I see here. The first thing, Boaz is going to take care of this matter, and he's going to do it in such a way that it will be legal, that everyone will be able to testify, yes, what they did is legal and right, and it's done openly. The second thing, we know there was a near kinsman. We saw this last time when Ruth approached Boaz. Remember that night? He told her, yes, I am a kinsman, but there is a near kinsman. And so this near kinsman, he had the right of redemption. You see that in verse 4. He had the right. Boaz told him. He came walking by, and Boaz said, hey, ho, come over here. Sit down with us. We've got something to talk about here. They've got something to settle here. And he's speaking to the man who had the first right of redemption of the property of Elimelech. He said, I thought to advertise thee, this is Boaz speaking, buy it. Elimelech's property needs to be redeemed. Now buy it. And do it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. It must be done legally, openly. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me. I'm next in line. that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I'm after thee. So the near kinsman is brought in. And the point I want to make about this near kinsman is simply this. He had to admit that he could not do the part of the near kinsman. At first he said, yes, I'll redeem it. And Boaz told him, well, recognize this. When you do, there's a woman involved here. There's Ruth, the Moabitess. And you must take her to be your wife and raise up a son for Elimelech and for Mahlon, so that his name will not die out in Israel. That was the law. And the man said, I cannot. Two times he said, I cannot. I cannot. The fourth thing that we see here is Boaz publicly acknowledged that he would do all the work of the kinsman redeemer. He not only would redeem the field, but he also would take Ruth, the Moabitess, to be his wife in order to raise up the name of the dead so that his name would not die out in Israel. And I've mentioned that several times as we've looked in these studies recently, how that was all important to an Israelite, that his name not die out in Israel. Remember, the land was not to pass from one owner to another owner because the land was the Lord's. The land was the Lord's, and it was divided out by lot. And that land could not be sold and moved from one tribe to another tribe. And the fifth thing that I see here, the Lord blessed this union with a son. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Ruth's redeemer, her kinsman redeemer, became her husband. Ruth, again, as I said, Ruth found rest in the house of her husband, her kinsman redeemer. Now, I want us to look at those five things that I mentioned there that we see in reading through that history there. And I want us to consider those things spiritually as our kinsman redeemer. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. That's the whole point of the book. To show us that he became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. First, I said this matter was done legally and openly. The Lord Jesus Christ, what he did in redeeming us, redeeming his chosen people, his sheep, those who were given to him, in that covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ did this legally and, yes, openly. Did you notice that Boaz took 10 men? Look back with me, if you will, to verse 3. And he said unto the kinsman, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to find that verse. Yes, verse 2. And he took 10 men. This is going to be done legally. It's going to be done openly. Boaz gets 10 men. 10 men. And I am going to have us think of these 10 men as representing the 10 commandments, the law of God that God made with the nation of Israel, the covenant that God made with the nation of Israel at Sinai. The Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He must honor that law. He must honor that law. He must magnify that law. And he does so, we know he did so, rather, by his obedience. And he redeemed all of his people from the curse of the law by him himself being made a curse for us. And I said that Boaz did this legally, and he did this openly. When I say the Lord Jesus Christ did this legally, God's law, God's holy character, this redemption, it had to be done in such a way that God's holiness was in no way tarnished, but rather glorified and magnified. What I'm saying is, before any lost sinner could ever be saved, God first of all, and God must be honored. His justice, his righteousness, his holiness is not going to be tarnished in any way. If there's no way other than by God's holiness somehow being tarnished for God to forgive, for God to redeem a sinner, then no sinner's going to be redeemed. It had to be done legally. God's law had to be satisfied, had to be magnified. Sin's not going to be just swept under the rug. Oh, no. Sin's going to be dealt with, and it's going to be dealt with in such a way that God's law is satisfied, and when God justifies a believer in Christ, there's no charge that can ever again be leveled against that person. Not in the court of heaven, because this is done in a legal way. And I said, he did what he did, not only legally, but openly. And this makes me think of what the Apostle Paul, he was a prisoner. He was being transported to Rome. You read about this in the book of Acts. And one of the men he came before was named Felix. He was a Roman governor. And a friend by the name of Agrippa, King Agrippa, came. And Paul had the opportunity, Felix gave him the opportunity to speak before Agrippa and his wife Bernice. And Paul was, speaking, and finally Felix, he said, Paul, much learning has made you mad. He recognized the man had great learning. Great learning has made you mad. And Paul responded like this. He said, I'm not mad. And he called upon Agrippa. He said, I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. That is King Agrippa. He knows what I'm talking about. His wife was a Jewess, Bernice. He knows what I'm talking about. I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. Now listen, for this thing, this matter of the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified, him being nailed to a cross and dying upon the tree, Paul said, for I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. It was done openly. Openly. He was crucified, and no one could deny it. Number two, the near kinsman might well represent the first man, the fallen man. We saw last time the provision in the law. This is in Leviticus chapter 25. And I said at the time, this is a big if. You might remember that. This is a big if. If a man became poor and he sold himself into servitude, if he was able, he could redeem himself. That's a big if. And this man who had the first right of redemption, if we think of this as the old man, that is Adam, God will bring every sinner that he saves to this place where he confesses, I cannot. I cannot. Now, we'll try. Most of us, we'll try. We'll start going to church. We'll turn over new leaves. We'll make vows and promises and all kinds of things. But God will bring us to the place where we will confess, I cannot. I cannot satisfy God for my sins. Remember in that book of Micah, I believe it is, shall a man give his firstborn for his sins? Would that help? Would that redeem? If a man under conviction of sin, if he took his own son, his firstborn, and offered him up for a sacrifice, would that put away his sins? No, not at all. God brings men down, just like he brought Saul of Tarsus down in the dust, until we recognize, I cannot. I cannot. If I'm going to be saved, someone else is going to save me. I can't do it on my own. And aren't you thankful the scripture says salvation is of the Lord? It is. The third thing, the near kinsman, he had to confess, I cannot redeem it. God brings us to this knowledge. And then fourth, Boaz publicly acknowledged that he would do all the work of the kinsman redeemer. I'll take care of all of it. And this was pictured, of course, in the scriptures. This pictures, rather, Christ. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 40 just a moment. Naomi told Ruth, this man, he'll not rest until he's finished with this matter. Boaz said, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Whatever's required. Buy that piece of property? Absolutely. Have to take a woman and raise up a son, not for myself, but for her husband. I'll do that. Whatever. That's what I'll do. In Psalm 40, in verse 6, these are words in prophecy, but they speak of our Savior. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come into this world and officiate like a priest in the tribe of Levi and offer sacrifices of animals, for the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. You have a Bible that has a marginal reading. You look over there in the margin for that word open. It's the word digged in my Bible. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, here's Boaz. I'll do it. I'll do it all. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. What do you think of when you see that word, mine ears? Hast thou opened? Mine ears hast thou digged. I know what you think of, just like me. You think of that Hebrew servant, don't you? Turn back to Exodus chapter 21. A Hebrew servant. Scripture says in verse 5, and if the servant shall plainly say, Now, he's the law says he has to go free in the seventh year. He can serve you 6 years, but in the seventh year, he must be set free. But if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved his master, that is God. As a God-man, as a righteous servant, God became his God, his master, and he loved his master, and he loved his wife, his church. He loved his children, his seed. I will not go out free. I'll do, just like Boaz, I'll do everything that is necessary. And the fifth thing, the Lord Jesus, who is his church's kinsman redeemer, is also her husband. Her husband. Look with me to Isaiah 54. The Lord Jesus Christ is the kinsman redeemer. He is the husband, not only the redeemer of his church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5. Here in Isaiah 54 and verses 5 and 6, notice it says, for thy maker is thine husband. Who's that? That's God, right? Thy maker. Thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. He is not only our husband, not only our redeemer, but rather also our husband. Now the union between Boaz and Ruth, it brought forth fruit, didn't it? She had a son. Our redeemer is our husband, and because of our union with him, pictured in John 15 as the vine and the branches, we bring forth fruit unto God. The fruit is of him. Apart from the vine, the branch can't bring forth any fruit. Just like Ruth, she would never have had a son if she had not had a husband. And because Christ, our Redeemer, is our husband, and we are in union with him, and by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we bring forth fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, third and last, consider the matter of rest. I want you to, if you still have your Bible open here to Ruth chapter 4, I want you to look down at the grandson's name of Boaz and Ruth. His name was Jesse, verse 17. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born of Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse. Now look with me in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter number 11. And verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. A root. Just like in Revelation 22, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the root and offspring of David. Root comes before the offspring, before the plant, right? the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is both God and man, he is both the root and the offspring. There shall come a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign. He's the ensign. He's the standard. He's the one to whom all of his people look for salvation. To it shall the Gentiles seek. Now notice, and his rest shall be glorious. His rest. What did I say that Ruth received from her kinsman redeemer? She received rest in the house of her husband. And I told us what kind of rest that was. Complete relief from all care, anxiety, and responsibility concerning her support and her protection. So we who come to Christ, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We find complete relief when we turn to Christ, when we look to Christ. We find complete relief from all care concerning our sins. Yes, before we look to Christ, we have that heavy load on our conscience. But when we turn to Christ, we find that his rest is glorious. We find complete relief from all care concerning our sins, because he, by his one sacrifice, hath put them all away. And God said, if they're searched for, they cannot be found. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. We find rest in the house of our husband, Christ. Number two, we find complete relief from all care concerning our support. Omnipotence would have to fail before the support of God's children should fail. I used to have a pastor friend, and I heard him many times. He would make a statement like this. He said, God would just as soon starve the angel Gabriel as starve one of his children. And that's true. Complete relief. Complete relief concerning our support in this world. And number three, lastly, we find complete relief from all care concerning our protection. Our protection. The psalmist said, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why? Because of our husband. Because we find rest in the house of our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he supplies our support and our protection, frees us from all worry concerning our sins. He's put them away. They're gone. May the Lord bless this message to all of us here tonight. Amen. If you will, David, let's sing a hymn.